Okay, hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of my video podcast on the future of business and technology. And today's topic is the importance of project management, and especially its importance to business strategy and helping businesses to execute strategy successfully. And to help me discuss this, I am very pleased to say I'm joined today by Professor Adam Bodison, OBE, who is the Chief Executive of the Association of Project Management. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you for having me, Bernard.
Yes, so lovely to have you with me today. Where are you joining us from today?
Well, I'm in sunny Coventry today. I'm happy to say it's sunny because it's often not sunny here.
Very good. Coventry in the United Kingdom. Yes, very good. So I would love to start by maybe you can give us a brief overview of your background and how you ended up becoming the chief executive of the Association of Project Management and what you do there today.
Sure. I am, as you said before, currently the chief executive of the Association for Project Management. I've been in this job for around about 2.5 years, and I arrived here through an unusual route, which did not involve being a project manager at any point, bizarrely. So my background is actually as an educationalist and working in the charity sector. So I started life out as a maths teacher, ended up running teacher training programs in universities, and then worked running a professional body for children with special educational needs, or for the professionals that looked after those children with special educational needs. And it was that got me into this world of professional bodies. And I wanted to do something which was more generalist rather than very specialist. And when the role at the Association for Project Management came up, I thought, well, you can't get much more generalist than project management. It's every sector, and it's every aspect of an organization. So that's my background, and that's why I'm here today.
Very good. So let's go straight into the topic then. So every organization has a strategy, whether this is explicit or implicit, but many of them struggle to execute their strategy. Why do you think business strategies fail? What is at the root cause of some of this?
Well, I don't think there's any one reason for every business strategy failing. Of course, if there was, we'd all know the answer, and we'd all have very successful strategy execution now. I think part of the challenge that I see commonly, though, in organizations is that the people who are very good at coming up with the vision and the idea behind a strategy don't necessarily have the right skill set to be able to then execute that strategy. And I suppose it's sometimes about recognizing that a different skill set is needed for strategy execution and strategy conception, if you like. And when it comes to strategy execution specifically, often strategies are based around delivery of change, whether that be new products and services, whether it be about revamping existing offers, bringing something new to the market, trying to reach out to a new market. It is a change of some form. And there is a whole profession, if you like, that's been built up over many years that can deliver that type of change. And of course, I'm talking about the project profession, but that's typically not seen in many organizations as being a core part of strategy execution and strategy delivery. It's quite often a specialist part somewhere off in the side of the organization that maybe is delivering particular projects like, I don't know, a new CRM system or something like that. But it's not thought of as being the vehicle that could deliver the main strategy execution that a business has.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I think it's sometimes easy for organizations to develop a strategy or strategic priorities, and then it's really important to link all of your strategic objectives to real deliverables and projects and activities and programs, and they then have to be delivered. And I think this is where lots of organizations don't deliver as well and as successfully. What are some of the biggest challenges that you see in organizations that is around strategy and around strategy execution?
I think one of the challenges that's kind of felt internally but exists and comes from the external environment is the amount of complexity that exists. So I sometimes talk about VUCA. For those who haven't heard this before, it's volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And I think the operating environment for businesses is increasingly VUCA. And what does that mean from a strategy execution perspective? It means that the plan you have on day one might not be the same plan that you need to have on day 100 or day 1000. There's this constant revisiting of the business case, if you like, for what you're trying to do, how you're trying to do it. And is that still the right thing to do? Is it still going to deliver the intended benefits? And often with this kind of operating context, the answer might be no. So that requires the plan to change. And that can be a hard message, right, to sell. If you're the architect of a strategy, you get full sign off from your board. And then 100 days later, you turn up and say, actually, maybe this isn't quite the right strategy for us anymore. That can be a hard message to sell internally.
Yeah, but it's one that is super important, as you say, in this current environment where there's so much new technology challenging organizations, where their external forces constantly changing, is super important to continuously adapt and rethink your strategy. So how does project management then fit into this? How can project managers help with this?
Sure. I think before I kind of dive into the specifics of how project management can help, it's worth recognizing that this projectification of the workforce that I'm kind of describing here is already with us. As an example, if you think about when people apply for a job now, it used to be the case that maybe people would apply to join an organization and they'd want to grow their entire career in a particular industry or in a particular role. They'd stay there for 20 years, maybe longer. That's not happening now. People are turning up for jobs and they say, right, I'm going to do this job for 3 years and then I'm going to go and do something different. And they're saying that from the outset. And so, you know, that's something with a kind of defined start and end with a particular kind of goal in mind. It sounds a lot like a project. So you're seeing this kind of projectification, if you like, occur within people as well as within processes. It's both sides of the coin there. But to come back to your original.
Do you have examples of this? What does that mean in practice, then, the projectification of people?
What I'm talking about there is the idea that if I'm coming to an organization with a very specific goal in mind of something I want to deliver, and then I'm going to go do something different, then some of the principles of project management can be applied to the people side of things. So as an example, let's talk about something like risk. So risk and risk management is a big part of project management. You know, we all know about risk registers and all the rest of it. Actually, the way in which you think about the risk of changes to your workforce, because there's going to be a much greater turnover, needs to be thought about. The way in which you want to deploy that person who you know is maybe going to be there for 3 years, it might be different to how you might invest in that person if they're going to be there for 20 years. Now, that's not to say, just to be clear, that you shouldn't invest in them. It just means that you're going to probably invest in more than one person because you want to not invest in just one person and that person's not there anymore. So it actually might lead to greater investment rather than less. But the point is, that's just one principle. That's around risk. You can start applying that in other areas as well.
Very good. So why do we need to incorporate projects into strategy, and how can this then help us with the challenges that we've just talked about and really enable businesses to succeed?
Yes. So if I think about what leaders are actually delivering and how that's changed over time, I think this kind of leans into the question. So if I go back 50 years ago, I think most leaders were delivering business as usual for, you know, the vast majority of their role. And there was probably a small part of their role, which was about delivery of change. I would argue now that that's probably completely reversed, and that most leaders spend most of their time delivering change, and probably a small amount of time delivering what we might think of as business as usual. If that's the case, then project management, which is all about delivery of change, has huge value to add because it provides a well evidence-based structured approach to delivering change, to controlling the delivery of change, and monitoring and thinking about how you realize the benefits of the intended change long after the change has actually been delivered. I think that would add huge value. The other thing I think about with this, and I've just kind of referred to it slightly there, is this whole point around benefits realization. So this might be a new term to people, so let me explain what I mean by this. So when you deliver a change, there's the outcome of the change. So if it's a new CRM project, for example, I've got my new CRM, that's the outcome. The benefits realization piece is therefore, why did I want that CRM in the first place? What benefits was it going to deliver to my customers, to my business more broadly? And how do I make sure that that change doesn't stop when the outcome is delivered, but actually the whole process continues all the way through to benefits realization, which may be well after the kind of outcome has been delivered. And this is where, in my opinion, project management has particular value to add in terms of leadership and strategy execution.
Very good. And you talked about the fact that in lots of organizations, project management is almost seen on the sideline implementing some change projects rather than having this really strategic role where project managers act as strategic enablers for organizations. Why is that important that we move them into the strategic role, and how do we do that in practice?
Well, the first thing we need to do is, I think, recognize that project management has a bit of an image problem, right? I mean, when you ask people about project management, you know, what do they think about? They're probably thinking about somebody who's got lots of templates and Gantt charts and things like that. Maybe it's somebody who's going to give people lots of work to do. It's quite it feels quite process driven. The reality is, yes, that's part of it, but it's probably a small part of it. Project management is as much about people as it is about processes, as I referred to before. But because of this kind of image problem, it doesn't have the same status as other professions that would be readily associated with leadership, like HR, marketing, finance. And by the way, marketing is a great example here. If let's look at the history of the marketing profession, there was a time when the marketers weren't at the C-suite. They weren't sitting around the board table. They were in the back room making the posters and, you know, designing the advertising campaigns and everything else. You know, they were following whatever the guidance was that came out of the C-suite. That's not the case anymore. They're in the boardroom. They're driving decisions. You've got these kind of chief marketing officers. So that kind of trajectory, if you like, that the marketing profession went on is exactly the same as the journey that the project profession is going on now. And just going back to the image problem, one of the reasons there's a bit of an image problem here is, where do we hear about projects? It's not usually good news, right? So it's usually when something's gone wrong. So if we read about a project in the newspaper, it's, I don't know, the project's late, it's gone over budget, you know, it was a disaster, it was a waste of public money. So there's this kind of trial by media that happens as well, which is partly the reason why I like doing things like this today. It gives me the chance to tell the other side of the story, which is where projects really, really deliver. So I think that's really important. But we must give it the same status as those other professions. MBA programs, for example, at the moment are based on HR, marketing, finance. Why isn't project management there as a fourth pillar of leadership, given that so much of leadership is about delivery of change?
So what does that mean in practice then? In the future, what do organizations need to do? What do leaders need to do in order to change this and incorporate project management further up into the strategic management of the organization?
So I think one of the first things to do is actually to look at the C-suite itself and the kind of roles that exist on the C-suite. You know, it's quite common for the chief operating officer to be a role within the C-suite. You know, I think it's pretty standard practice. If what I said before was true, and that most of what leaders are trying to do is deliver change for most of their role and BAU, business as usual, for a small part of the role, is a chief operating officer the right role for that type of profile of delivery? Or actually, would something like a chief projects officer or a chief transformation officer, similar type of thing, would that be a more appropriate role to have in a C-suite? Now, maybe it's not an either or, maybe there's a room for both. But what we are seeing is big changes to the C-suite. You mentioned that this video podcast is also about technology. You know, that's also a part of this, right? We're seeing kind of chief technology officers on boards now increasingly. So we're seeing this wider change to the C-suite. And I think some of that is kind of moving away from IQ and towards kind of emotional intelligence and the people side of things. The risk is the project management is seen to fall into the process side of things rather than the people side of things and ends up getting left behind. And actually, that's probably one of the things that's going to be the enabler for the wider C-suite to actually deliver on what it needs to do. So from a practical perspective, the C-suite definitely needs to be looked at. I think the other thing is thinking about workforce development. So again, if I think about the other functions, HR, marketing, finance, it's quite common for recruitment process to have very clear expectations about what kinds of qualifications you want those people to have to make sure that they're part of a recognized professional body and so on. With project management, sometimes it's a little bit of you can be the project manager on this one. No qualifications needed. That is a big mistake. So the other practical thing that leaders can do is actually look at the different qualifications and standards that are out there. And I, of course, would advocate for the Chartered Project Professional Standard. But look at those standards and make sure that you are upskilling the workforce sufficiently to be able to deliver projects on time, within budget, to the required specification, and then long term to realize the benefits.
Yeah, so I'd love to explore a bit more what it means to be a really good project manager and what skills you need as a good project manager, because everything I talk to organizations about, be it their strategy or even digital transformation, artificial intelligence, all these things, they all need to be project managed, all these transformation activities, not just their big strategy. Hopefully the transformation is part of their strategy and is aligned. So I'd love to explore in a bit more detail what the core skills are and what you see this. But before we do that, you said that some organizations have a chief operating officer. That's very common. And then maybe we should have a chief project officer alongside, maybe instead of. How do you see those two roles differ? What's the difference between a chief operating officer and a chief project officer in your opinion?
Well, of course, I'm making quite general statements here because those, you know, a chief operating officer and what that means from, you know, organization to organization will vary greatly.
Absolutely.
But to address the specific point you're making around the nuanced difference between the two roles, I would see the kind of COO role about saying deliver more of the same, whereas a CPO role, the chief projects officer, is around actually change and transformation and delivery of that change successfully. So that at the kind of macro level is broadly where I would see the difference.
Very good. And then coming back to the skills, what do you think makes a really good project manager? What's the skill set that you would want to advocate for?
So one of the things we have at Association for Project Management is a competence framework, which sets out all of the different competencies that you need to be a really effective project professional. And it's interesting, I use the phrase project professional there. I know we've kind of used project management as well today. The reason I use that is because there's a recognition that within the project profession, there are project managers, but there are also some quite specific specialist roles as well that might only focus on risk, for example, or only focus on particular aspects of that. And so this competence framework is designed to cover the full spectrum of different things. But to get to some of the specifics, I'd say broadly speaking, they fall into two categories. You've got the kind of the interpersonal side of the competencies, so things like leadership, teamwork, actually being able to recognize the value that diversity brings is one of the competencies that's in there as well. So there's all of the kind of the interpersonal and people side of things. You've then got the kind of more technical side of the role. So things that we've talked about already about risk management, issue management, actually proper strategic planning and execution is in there as well. And there's lots of other kind of technical aspects, and it's having the appropriate balance of the two. The way we actually structure the framework for people who kind of go through the chartered process is that there are some of those competencies which are mandatory, and which we would say are core for everybody, and there are lots which are optional. And depending on the role that you're doing, you select the right combination of competencies that most appropriately matches your particular context or the role that you happen to be in. But a good starting point for anybody who's watching this and thinking, oh, I'd be interested to see what skills I need to develop, is download that competence framework. It's freely available on the website, and benchmark yourself against it. You'll see then where you might want to develop your competency and skill sets.
And what's the website address?
Yes, thank you. So it's www.apm.org.uk. And on there, you'll find the competence framework.
Perfect. I'm intrigued to get your view on the role of technology, especially AI, in the project management space, because there are some people that believe, actually, especially with advances in generative artificial intelligence, maybe AI could take on quite a big chunk of the project management element. So which parts do you think AI would be able to do well? How do you think AI is going to augment the project management profession in the future?
Really great question. And I think let's start by dealing with the big myth that I hear all the time, which is we won't need project managers anymore because AI can do the whole job. I mean, that's just nonsense. I mean, first of all, AI is replacing tasks, not roles. So I think it might change the role, but it's certainly not going to replace the role. In terms of the specifics, so if I think about projects that have been very, very successful, and I also think about projects that have been a complete disaster, and I ask, what was it that determined that those outcomes? What was the driving force? Was it people or was it processes? 99% of the time, I hear it was about people. So if AI comes along and let's say it automates some of the process side of the role, then actually you're even more reliant on good people. And that people side of the competencies that I talked about before becomes even more important. So I it's the relationships between suppliers in a supply chain, for example. It's understanding and having trust with different people who are delivering different parts of the project. So actually they will be honest with you when things are going wrong, so you can intervene early and therefore have a chance of still getting the project back on track. All of those things, yes, there's a process element to it, but there's a huge people element to it as well. Mm. So I think that, you know, that's where I think AI will come in and change the role. One of the other things I hear about AI is project managers who maybe have been in the job for a long time, and they say, I'm really worried I don't have the skills, the AI skills, to be able to cope with this new world. And I think that comes from a place of thinking that project professionals are going to need to become data analysts or something like this. And actually, they don't need to be data analysts. They just need to be data literate. And it's one of the things we've published a lot on recently about, well, what does that look like? What does data literacy look like for different roles? And again, we've mapped out different personas and said, well, look, these are the basic kind of project data analytics and AI skills that you might need to be successful in these types of roles. But of course, it changes all the time. So it's very much an iterative process, which I'm sure we'll be updating regularly.
Do you have any examples of organizations that have done this successfully and have really made project management more strategic in their organizations, and it has helped them deliver on their strategy execution? Any good examples?
Absolutely. So if I was to tell you that we have around about 450 corporate partners that work with us at Association for Project Management, and these are organizations who've chosen to take to fully embrace, if you like, the project profession and to deliver in the way that I've talked about. So the kinds of organisations that these are, and just to give you a sample, because there's a real breadth of organisations, you've got big players like, you know, Amazon, the BBC, you've got defence companies like BAE Systems, you've got kind of infrastructure type companies. Lots of the government departments are in there as well. But then you've got smaller organisations. So you've got organisations that might be in the kind of SME space and charities who are saying, well, actually, we've got pretty tight restrictions on the funding that we've got and what we need to deliver. So therefore, we want to have really tight strategy execution, because this is, you know, money that's been donated to us. We really want to spend this well. So if we're going to have somebody overseeing how we spend this, we want somebody who's competent. And so they're investing in chartered project professionals because they know that those people will deliver the outcomes that they need. The other interesting point that we haven't really touched on is kind of ESG. So the kind of environmental, sustainable and governance side of things. One of the pieces of research we did showed that those organisations where they'd really invested in chartership for a proportion of their workforce, a strategic level, if you like, they started to see better progress towards their ESG goals than for the organisations where that investment hadn't taken place. And given how important it is now for organisations to really think about ESG, this is another kind of good return on the investment that they're making in terms of upskilling their workforce. Yes, we're getting the strategy executed well, but we're doing the right things at the same time.
Very good. And what would you say are some of the key learning points? If you look at the organizations that are partnering with you, that are working with you, and the ones that you are seeing are doing this really well, what would you say are some of the learning points that other organizations might pick up on and implement?
I think the first thing I would say is that the approach to embedding project management should be built in to what the organization is trying to achieve and not be a bolt-on. The organizations that try to make it a bolt-on, it's either too easy to undo, so changes of personnel and all of a sudden it's not there anymore, or it comes across as not being sufficiently important and therefore doesn't deliver on its intended purpose. So I think building it in so it's core to the organization and taken seriously by leaders right at the top of the organization, I think is the first thing. So built in rather than bolt on. The second thing is it does require a level of financial investment, of course, in kind of upskilling the workforce and developing the workforce, but also an investment in time. You know, we're talking about changing an approach here, changing a culture of an organization to some extent. And that's not going to happen automatically. So, you know, that kind of time investment to really drive something like that forward, I think is going to be very important.
Very good. And if you look ahead into the future, what would you like to see in, let's say, 5 years' time in your space?
So I think for me, it's around this chartered standard, because we've only had chartered project professionals for about 6 years now. So it's relatively new compared to other, you know, very well-established chartered professions. But that chartered standard, I would like to see that increasingly become the expected global standard when it comes to project management. So when organizations are going out there and looking for a project professional to help them deliver in the way I've talked about, they don't just go for any project professional. They go for one that's chartered, because they know that's the person, that's the individual that's going to be competent in the role and is going to be able to deliver successfully the strategy that's been set out.
Very good. And if anyone wants to find out more about the Association of Project Management, they can go to your website. Is there anything else you would point them to?
I think that's the best starting point. We also obviously are active on LinkedIn. We even have a TikTok channel as well, which is actually our fastest growing social media platform. It's not just for funny dances. There's also some good project management content on there as well.
Very good. Super fascinating. This has been super interesting, Adam. Thank you very much for sharing this with me. And yeah, I'm looking forward to doing this again and diving more into the importance of project management. And this is something I truly believe is hugely important for organizations, that they close this execution gap that I'm seeing in so many organizations. And I think delivering projects successfully, especially in the world, in this hyper evolution world that I'm seeing at the moment, where lots of different technologies are driving huge transformations, is more important than ever. So thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me, Bernard. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure.